This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. One of the things I've been thinking about for a while here is, especially as there have been news of meat processing plant closures, especially related to Smithfield Foods across the country, and some associated reports with those suggesting that the pork supply might be a bit problematic these days because of that. I thought I'd take a few minutes to talk with the Knox County pork producers about that, or at least one of the members of the Pork Producers Association, and that's Dan Erickson, who is on the line with me. Dan, where do you farm at, by the way?
We farm in the Altoona area, so we're kind of in the northeast corner of Knox County.
Very good. I appreciate your time tonight. Thanks so much for agreeing to talk with me.
Glad to be here. We're staying socially distanced and from everybody, and everything's going well on that front.
Is it a nerve-wracking time to be a hog farmer these days?
It really is. It's the stress levels are really high, and you know, we've gone through difficult times before, but usually you could kind of see it coming, maybe see it building, and kind of see where the end was going to be, where you could work out of it. And this situation really caught us off guard. And it's when you don't know when it's going to end, that just the uncertainty really makes it difficult to make wise decisions Yeah, it's as tough a time as I can remember in my lifetime.
So among you and your fellow farmers then, we've heard, stories of hog farmers having to mostly just get rid of hogs because they can't sell them and things like that. Is that the problem you're seeing and that you and some of your fellow hog farmers are seeing right now? How much truth is there in that?
Well, it's absolutely true that it's happening. There are other ways that people are trying to muddle through here in the meantime. I know some of the area farmers have taken to just selling pigs individually, advertising on Facebook or different places. And if a person can find a spot at a locker to butcher that pig for them, it's a tremendous value for the consumer. But there's a very limited amount of that that can be done. These small lockers are, maybe they do 10 or 20 pigs a week, and we're talking about thousands of pigs a week that need to make it to market. So that's one thing that's helping a little bit here and there. People are kind of crowding their barns up, maybe stocking at levels that aren't necessarily ideal.
Yeah.
But that accomplishes two things. One, it makes a little bit of extra space, and it slows the growth of the pigs down, which is what the packers are telling us they need us to do, is to do everything we can to slow the flow of pigs to them. And that flow is really what has created the huge problem, because we were really running pretty well at balance, everything at full capacity. The farmers were producing at full capacity, and we were had just about the number of pigs that the processors wanted to keep everything running well for them. So everything was kind of running full tilt, and then when the shutdown to the food service happened, well, that was suddenly 50% of the market sales that immediately dried up and disappeared. So some of that came to the grocery stores, but the processors are set up where a certain portion of their production is to go to restaurants, and the other part is for retail, and the packaging is completely different. One is completely in bulk and the other is very individual. They didn't really have the ability to increase their individual packaging that the grocery stores would want. So that was an immediate backup, and then after that is the COVID spread through the country, and through coming in through our areas, then it started to get people in the plant coming down with the disease, and it's really a problematic place for a virus like this. It likes cool environments, and the rooms they work in are refrigerated, and is very easily transmissible. And they're working side by side as the carcass moves down the line. They're separating it into different pieces and into different cuts, and so they're just working side by side on that. So that made it easy to spread, and I know that Smithfields and Tyson's were doing everything they could to separate people, but there was a limit to what they could do.
When one of the other Smithfield plants in the country closed down, and that pretty much shut off operation of that plant for a while. What was kind of going through your mind? Were you concerned that actually would happen, like it seems to have done at other plants, like the Smithfield plant in Monmouth, and even though I don't know how much hog production it does, the Tyson Foods plant in Joslin, for example, and things like that. What goes through your mind when you hear about these plants shutting down?
Well, excuse me. We knew that this was a possibility back end of March. I actually started making some phone calls to our associations, state and national associations, and to some representatives, and just trying to put out a warning that, I mean, I didn't have any solution for it, but just letting people know that if this does happen, we're going to have a huge problem. And unfortunately, it was kind of a worst-case scenario come true. Mm. So everybody is trying to adapt on the fly, but there's no way to adapt the supply, and that's really the key problem here. Is there's the plants that are running, and my understanding is Smithfield is going to start up again next week, but they will be running much less than what their capacity is. Normally, there's about 2.5 million pigs a week that are processed
at the Monmouth plant.
Throughout the country. I'm not exactly sure Smithfield's numbers, so I hate to say, but I think they're in the 12,000 to 15,000 per day there.
Not an insignificant amount, right? And I imagine, do most hog farmers, are they selling directly to those local plants? Is that how that works?
Yes. Generally, the farmers are contracted with one particular plant, just so they know that they've got a spot. And that's what we were. But suddenly when they cut their production, well, they don't have room for all the pigs that they had contracted. And it's a tough spot for them to be in, because they were profitable. They wanted to continue to process the pigs and move the meat, but they just couldn't do it. So now they've had to slow their production to about half. Well, that's really kind of across the country. We're doing about half of what we normally would do. So if it was 2.5 million pigs a week, we have 1 million pigs a week that don't have a home. And last week's million plus this week's million plus next week's million.
Is that going to cause, I mean, if you need to get production back up to full capacity, is that going to slowly happen then, it sounds like?
I believe that it is going to be kind of a long, extended process to get everybody back up to full speed. We're very supportive of getting the Smithfield plant up and running, and we're very thankful for the employees over there working, because they're really on the front lines of the food supply. But it is going to be a long, slow process to get everybody back to full production. And in the meantime, there's all these extra animals, and that's where you're starting to hear these talks of euthanasia. And, you know, it's a horrible and a heartbreaking situation for farmers to invest a year's time in producing an animal and then not have a place to sell it, and it just goes down in value once they reach their optimum weight. If they keep growing, they get too big, and it really doesn't fit the packaging anymore, and it doesn't fit on the processing line, and they have very little utility value at that point. So there has been some, I know. I'm afraid if this problem continues for another couple of weeks, you'll probably hear more and more of those reports.
Yeah.
There are people who have sows that are bred that are aborting those sows, so they don't have more pigs coming behind to further clog up the system. So it's such a smooth process when everything's running, but you get a hiccup in there, and things just go to heck in a hurry.
Yeah, sounds like it. I was thinking about when you said earlier that in some cases, maybe some hog farmers are able to sell hogs, whole hogs individually, assuming you can get it to a processor and that sort of thing. I would imagine that when you're in a situation where you're selling individual hogs like that, I would imagine you're probably taking a taken a financial loss on that, right? You can't imagine that you would sell a hog for the same price that you would when you're selling them in bulk, if you will, to a big processor like a Smithfield.
Actually, the price is probably, you know, when you're dealing with a large company, they kind of have the negotiating power.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with an individual, you probably have a little more power to negotiate. But the ones that I've seen, people are trying to get just a few more dollars than they would get if they were able to deliver it. But they can't deliver it, so it's almost worth nothing. So if they can get close to what the market should be, they're just tickled pink.
In terms of prices, what does this do for prices at the store? Like if I go and buy my beloved pound of bacon at the store, what's that going to do to price now and long term?
Long term, I think it will even back out and probably be about where it was. Right now, the wholesale meat prices are just skyrocketing because they're is a fraction of what they normally would have in the supply. And so I don't know if the retailers are bidding it up or if the processors are just demanding a higher price because they have a limited supply. On the other side of the equation, on the live animal side, those prices are plummeting because there is such an oversupply that people are just desperate to get rid of them. I mean, nobody wants to have to euthanize an animal, even if you take nothing for it. They would rather ship it and just give it away than have to sacrifice an animal for no reason.
So if you're taking losses on hog farming right now, I would imagine. Is there help Absolutely. Available for farmers in a situation like this?
There is. There's a lot of things that are probably coming that we don't know yet, but some of the things we do know, pig farmers and all farmers are eligible for the payment protection plan, those PPP loans that you may have heard about, where it basically allows you to continue to pay your employees whether you have the money to do it or not. So it's a loan you take out, you use it for payroll, and if you keep those people online, which, I mean, we're not out of business, we're just suffering in a business, so we still need all the people that we have, but it helps us pay their salaries and keep us going that way. There are some other small business loans with low interest. I don't know if that's been taken advantage of a lot by farmers just yet. I know the USDA has pledged that they're going to buy some surplus foods and donate to food banks, and that might be something where they can use more of the food service cuts of meat.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just say that's about what I know of at this point. Okay. I'm sure there's going to be more details as we go forward.
Is it a situation where, because you're also planting corn or soybeans, depending on where you are, that if prices are good in that regard, that might help offset some of the losses on the other end?
Well, it would, and that's kind of what makes this part of that perfect storm is corn and bean prices are also depressed.
Mm.
And the corn, it relates strongly to the ethanol and the oil price wars that's happening between the Saudis and the Russians.
A 1-2 punch here.
Yes, exactly. That really collapsed the prices of corn because a lot of the ethanol plants have shut down. Soybean prices, I think, have more fallen in support or in sympathy with other commodities. Fundamentally, soybean supply-demand doesn't look too bad, but it's hard for the soybean price to stay up when the wheat and corn prices are dropping. So it's tough everywhere around right now. It really is.
Mm.
It's springtime, and springtime always brings some optimism, and it's fun to watch the crops come up out of the ground and grow. And so there are positive things that you can find to look at it, but it's also really tough time, and mental health on the farm is probably working towards a crisis point. I see a lot of things on social media. I know there's a lot of resources out there, and the Farm Bureau and different places are trying to get ahead of that and make sure people have someone to talk to if they need to. But when you see your business crumbling, it takes an emotional toll.
Dan Erickson, a farmer near Altona and a member of the Knox County Pork Producers Association, thanks so much for your time, and good luck getting through this. I feel horrible that you have all of this going on at once here, but hopefully we'll get out of it sooner rather than later.
Yes, and well, I appreciate that, and we fully understand that we're not the only ones who are having trouble. I mean, we understand there's tons and tons of small businesses that had their business closed, and mm-hmm. they don't know whether they're going to be able to reopen. So we're in this together, and we're not feeling like we're the Lone Ranger or anything here, and try not to feel too sorry for ourselves. But we certainly hope that there's a quick resolution to the COVID situation, and we can all move forward with our lives.
But I'm from the hog capital of the world, so automatically I have a certain amount of sympathy here.
Well, you should get a free pig just for that.
You know, I should. I really just hope that I can continue to cross into Henry County to go back home without the cops stopping me. That's really just my goal. Dan, thank you again.
All right. Thanks, Will. I appreciate your time.
We'll come back with more business news and local news headlines. Then we'll talk to District 205 Superintendent John Asplund coming up on Galesburg's Evening News.